Well, praise God. I'm going to talk on the subject. I mean, I've named it, titled it, Four Reasons to Have Faith in God. Mm. And the reason why I want to talk about faith at this time of the year, this is just the second Sunday of the year, is that on 31st December, the Lord gave us a word. And it was a word of comfort. And he said for us to be able to walk in that comfort, we needed three key things: faith, love, and hope. Or love, faith, and hope. And I more and more I'm realizing that this is a time that we need faith more than anything. Not just a faith, or I have faith in God, but a practical, everyday faith. A kind of walk that affects and infects every area of our lives. Many a times we walk with God in, I don't know, almost a religious way. Not religious in the terms of, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that in this way or that way. But we walk with God outside of our daily experiences. So when our experiences come, we become like Peter. We begin to sink, because we take our eyes off the Lord. So far as Peter's eyes were on the Lord, Peter walked on water. But for many of us, our Christian walk is, we come to church, we hear the word, our eyes are on the Lord. We go home, we take our eyes off the Lord, and begin to do life without our eyes on the Lord. And then we begin to sink. And then we begin to see the challenges overwhelm us. But if we would learn to walk with God in such a way that in everything our eyes are on him, in all your ways acknowledge him, it baffles me. In fact, it amazes me the number of believers I come across that, even though they know that scripture, it is not an everyday thing they do, that in everything they think, let me inquire of the Lord. It just, for me, it just amazes me. But this is what the Lord is saying to us, that if we are to walk in the comfort that he has given us, if we are to walk in the promises he gave us at the end of the year, of leveling the mountains, filling the valleys, straightening the crooked, and smoothing the rough, that his glory will be revealed in us, then we need to look at the issue of faith. I woke up this morning and I was just reflecting on the Father as the shepherd. So I even sent a message out to some people from Psalm 23. Psalm 23 verses 1 to 6. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Hallelujah. And I pondered, what do you think when you read this psalm? How relevant is this psalm to your life? We read it, we recite it. For me, sometimes when I'm saying it, I find I'm even disengaged with it, because I've become so familiar with it, yet I don't know what it means. I remember years ago, a friend of mine bought me a book, and I still have it. He said, Psalm 23, from a Middle Eastern shepherd's perspective. And it made me, it's a whole, an entire book on this psalm, to give that perspective, because in our modern setup, we don't understand The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Really? And I had an experience with the Lord this week where he was telling me that he enjoys giving. And I asked him the question, really? And I had to repent later because he made me see how much he's given, especially given in Christ Jesus. And so when we have our little needs, we forget. We take it totally out of perspective of what God has given. And our little needs and our little wants become the issue. And we forget. He makes me lie in green pastures. Do you see yourself as lying in? I mean, this message is not about Psalm 23, but I'm using it as an introduction to get us to think that it is time for us to begin to walk in faith. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as lying down in green pastures? Oh, being led by still waters. Have you entered that much into rest? Do you feel that he's restored your soul? Do you feel him leading you in the paths of righteousness? His word guiding you that you will do what is right. It means each day engaging with his word. And letting his word guide you. These are things to reflect on. Because the reality of our lives is this. We struggle with a whole lot of things. We are weak in many areas of our lives. We have challenges which overwhelm us. We are constantly searching for answers, searching for solutions, searching. We have fears and anxieties and worries. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You get what I'm trying to say? That even though we have this Psalm 23, and we know it, and it's telling us, God, the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is this to me, and we say it, we don't live it. We don't live it. We have our fears, we have our anxieties and our worries, and they seem bigger than anything else in our lives. Sometimes we feel like we failed. I feel like I failed, which, I mean, it baffles people. People say, really? But yes, sometimes we struggle with God and walk with God. We are in constant struggle to walk with God. How do we overcome it? How do we gain the strength to stand and endure? How can we live the life we are living? You know, Nobel and I were watching something yesterday about Whitney Houston's life. And we looked at the challenges they had back in the day. We're looking at what is happening now. And I said to her,
In the music industry,
especially. And I said, what they thought was, they were going astray was like holiness as compared to what is happening now. Mm-hmm. And when you look at everything else from the past, life was simpler. Even though then we didn't think life was simple. So it means that things are getting worse and not better. So we need something that will hold us, that will anchor us. It is time we evaluated our faith. Because faith is the only thing that will keep us through. Faith is the only thing that will carry us through. Faith is the only thing that will hold us firm. Faith is the only thing that will give us the victory. You either believe that the Lord is the shepherd or not. I love my brother-in-law, my sister's husband. He has a way of getting God to provide for him. He's one man of faith that, I mean, all of us get, I mean, I admire his faith because he says he's a consultant anesthetist, and that's the more reason why he should not have that kind of faith. But he says, I don't have a need. If in the morning I wake up with no money in my pocket, by evening I will have money because I know what to tell God when I wake up. He said, I just turn to him. The Lord is my shepherd. It means that he's not reciting it, but it is a firm belief and confidence that God is my shepherd. And what does that mean, that God is my shepherd? That God takes care of me. God provides for me. We have become too independent. I had a picture the other day and it disturbed me. Normally in my pictures that God shows me in my with himself, I'm a child. And this time I saw an adult, is like an adult being lifted up, and it was a struggle. So I said, Lord, is that how I'm presenting myself before you, that I'm an adult? No. I want to be your child. I mean, I'm still trying to get the meaning, whether he was trying to show me the level of maturity or whatever. But we need to have that understanding that God is our Father. And God takes care of us. And God takes care of things. Hallelujah. Amen. The struggle will go. I mean, I live to an extent. You know how I live my life. The struggle is not necessary. Amen. Where you're weak, he's strong. Mm-hmm. So instead of struggling to gain the strength, I have a habit of, Lord, when everything overwhelms me, I just say, Lord, we've come. I've come with my marriage, my family, with the ministry, all of you, come and lie before him. That he will, this is all that God requires, that he would be central. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So really, Psalm 23 should stir up faith and trust in our God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I just thought this morning, it is awesome to have such a shepherd as our God. Mm-hmm. And also to have a God who is such a shepherd. Isn't it awesome to have such a shepherd as our God, but also to have a God who is such a shepherd? Knowing these things about our God is what builds faith and trust in him. And what we need now more than anything, like I've said over and over again, is faith. Faith in our God. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm just going to briefly talk about four reasons to have faith in God. That's my topic. In Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have faith, so faith is something to have. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. It's one of your possessions. It's something to acquire. It's something to pursue. We pursue all kinds of things. We pursue money, big time. We pursue friendship. We pursue, let us pursue faith. It says, if you have faith and you don't doubt, it means you don't have doubt. Exchange your doubt for faith. Not only will you do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. That's verse 22. If you believe. So what is Jesus saying? You can cause a tsunami, because a tsunami is when there is an eruption in the sea and the sea overflows. Jesus is saying that this mountain which is an obstacle in your life, whatever it is, if you just have faith. Faith in what? Your job? The NHS? The government? No. Your parents, friendship, they are all, they themselves are looking for something to hold on to. Hallelujah. Yeah. Like in my language, they say, I'm sitting on the chair. My bum is just half of the chair, not sitting fully. And you want to come and sit on me? We will both fall down. And that's many of the things we put our faith in. They themselves are struggling to find somewhere to position themselves. Jesus said, if you have faith. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we should, after the fast, do a series of Bible studies on faith. Mm-hmm. Because faith needs to be practical. Mm-hmm. Faith is not just something we say.
Praise the Lord.
But faith is a lifestyle. So the four reasons, in fact, actually it's just one reason why we should have faith. But four components of that one reason. The reason why we must have faith is God. Just the person of God. Just the existence of God. God. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists, that God exists. He is. Mm. So really, that's the basic underlining reason for faith. God. God. Now, God, I remember when I was a young girl in primary school, I went to an Anglican school. We had the sisters, nuns, teaching us and things. And one of the things they made me understand was that God is everywhere. And in explaining that to us, they said, look at air. Air is everywhere. So if God is the basis for faith, and God is air, or like the air, and he's everywhere, then it means faith must be everywhere. Faith must be in my bathroom. Faith must be in my bedroom. In my kitchen, faith must be there. Wherever I can breathe, faith must be there. Hallelujah. It's only in the grave, when I stop breathing, that faith ceases. Are you with me?
Praise God.
You need to take this message seriously. Absolutely. Because I was asked to preach about half an hour before the service starts. And if I'm preaching these things, then this is what the Father is saying to us. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So far as we can breathe, any place in our lives where we can breathe, we need to have an awareness of God. That is the basis of faith. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
It means that we need to pause. We need to train ourselves to pause at each junction of our juncture or whatever the English says, of our lives, to have an awareness of God. If we are to live the day-by-day life of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I just quickly want to talk about four key things about God that we need or are reason enough for us to have faith in God. I will talk about his character. I will talk about his ability. I'll talk about his strength and his truth. And I'll go over these very quickly because these are teachings I can teach in depth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalm 115, verses 9 to 11, O Israel, trust the Lord. He is your helper and your shield. O priests, descendants of Aaron, trust the Lord. He is your help and your shield. All you who fear the Lord, trust the Lord. He is your helper and shield. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is our helper and our shield. To trust somebody, it means you must know his character. If I don't know your character, I cannot trust you. Or if I have tested your character and you are not trustworthy, I will not be able to trust you. So, character is essential. If God is calling on us to have faith in him, then we must know his character. What kind of a God is he? What kind of a person is he that he wants me to have faith in him, to believe in him, to know that he what he's saying he will do, he will do. And God's character, without a shadow of doubt, there is none comparable. We see it in Exodus 34, verses 5 to 7. When he revealed his glory to Moses and declared himself as the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is the Lord. He is good. He is merciful. He is kind. He is gracious. But he is righteous and just.
Amen.
That's a good God.
Amen.
It's unfortunate that we presented him as, oh, this lovey-dovey God, in whom there is no justice or no righteousness. No. The character of God is consistent.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Galatians 5, we are told of the fruit of the Spirit, that God is, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I like to stress the long because God is long-suffering. He is patient with us. Says faithfulness, gentleness. He's gentle with us. Self-control. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Says the Lord is merciful, gracious. This morning I was listening to Psalm 145. I listened to it over and over again. For the Lord is gracious and merciful, full of compassion, slow to anger, and abounds in great mercy. He says he has compassion towards us. He lifts the fallen. The Lord gives those who are hungry food. Those who call upon him, he answers. What kind of a God is this? What kind of a God is this? He is good. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. He doesn't only do good things. All goodness originates from him. Jesus said, there is none good but God. Hallelujah. It is, you see, I can describe Nobel as, oh, Nobel is good. It's because, really, Nobel does good things. But I can say Nobel is a woman. And not because she does womanly things, but because that is who she is. Well, it's not because God does good things that he is good. It's because he is good.
Amen.
The substance he's made of is goodness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're talking about what? Reasons why we should have faith in this God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His goodness ensures that he is pure and he is holy. Anything less will make him cease to be God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is the driving force behind all his blessings. God is merciful. I was looking today at the word. I didn't know I'll be asked to preach. But this is me with God this morning. And I was looking at that same Psalm 23. It says, surely goodness and mercy. And you know my experience with that word mercy. When the Lord began to almost push it into my spirit, that I am a merciful God. It hurts like I was having a heart attack. Because the words were confronting all my perceptions of God. Or what I thought my experience of God was. The word has said mercy. It means that he has a covenant loyalty of favor. He's covenanted himself to favor us. God has made a covenant with himself and with us to favor us. And that is why we're still alive. That's why the things that should have taken us haven't taken us out. That is why the last minute he will still come through. That is why the things we've done for him to cut us off or to punish us or destroy us, God has not done so, because he has. One day I will preach that message as a complete message, because that transformed my walk with God. God is merciful. Hallelujah. God is long-suffering. He's not short-tempered. Like, oh, you do this and he has a stick. Stop it. No, God is slow to anger. Nahum chapter 1 verse 3 says the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. But he will not leave the guilty unpunished. It means he will give you long rope. Keep hoping. Keep doing things to try to get you on track. He waits. He's patient. The same Psalm 145 says the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. God is good to all. He has compassion on everything he has made. He's the God who causes the sun to shine on both the wicked and the righteous. Because he loves all humanity. This is the God we serve. You know, the word long-suffering means you have the capacity or power to endure. You know what your power can do in dealing with the situation, but you restrain yourself. You hold yourself back. Hallelujah. With him, there is forgiveness. Even giving Jesus to die on the cross shows the extent of his mercy and his long-suffering. He's gracious. Oh, I love Isaiah 30. He says, therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. He lifts himself to have mercy and to show loving kindness to you. It means he's lenient. He's full of grace towards you. He's indulgent. With me, God has been very indulgent.
Praise God.
I don't know, but if we leave here today and something hasn't shifted, there hasn't been a paradigm shift that we are going to hold on to and run with in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, then we are missing a huge opportunity. Maybe you're familiar with my voice. You're familiar with the words I say. You are familiar. But today, I ask you to hear differently.
Amen.
And to make an inner determination that I am going to hold on to this word. And I am going to ride upon it. And I'm going to listen to it over and over again. And I'm going to say to the Lord, stir up faith in me.
Amen.
Let me know you. That was what I said to the Lord when he told me that he enjoys giving. And I said to him, really? Then I said to him, you know, show me that you enjoy giving. Because sometimes it's like pulling the hair out of your nostrils. Show me. And he showed me in a way that I was on my knees repenting. He wasn't angry with me. It's part of my learning. At least I'm learning. So say to him, show me. If you're good, show me. I'm not proving you, testing you, but I really want to know. Hallelujah. He's faithful. God is faithful. We are looking at his character. He is faithful.
Hallelujah.
And he's just. We can trust him. Above all, God is love. Love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Love is patient. Love is everything that I've talked about, his character. Comes together and forms God, the God of love. For love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't keep a record of the wrong, but rather is rejoicing at the right. Love bears all things, endures all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think even just this one reason is enough to have faith in God.
Amen.
I want to look at us to look at the second thing, God's ability. What is God able to do? Because if he's saying we must have faith in him, then he must be able to perform.
Absolutely.
He must be able, like Pastor Kobe would say, to deliver the goods.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is God able to do? All I want to say is that God is able. It's as simple as that. He is able. He is able to do all things. He created the world and everything there is in it. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that God is not able to do except lie. The only thing God cannot do is lie or deny himself. But God is able. Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And we see God's abilities in his relationship with Israel. When you read, there are so many, and the people of Israel, thank God, have recounted over and over again. So in many Psalms, many scriptures, they're remembering the things that God has done for them, how he has walked with them, what he has done. Oh, he's revealed his presence by performing great and mighty acts. You see, this is the God we don't know. The other day I was saying to him, I said, Lord, your people in this generation have not seen your works.
Mm-hmm.
We read about it like a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We read about it And we're living in a world where things seem to be happening. So we don't see the hand of God at work in our everyday lives. And then we have alternatives. We need money. We can get a loan from the bank. Or we can work or something and get it. So we haven't come to the place where there is nothing, absolutely nothing. And God shows up. But I have had such experiences over and over again. And that is where my passion with God is coming from. We need to see what God can do. And I'm saying to the Father, show your people what you can do. Often God is the last resort. When everything else has failed, then we turn to God. Sometimes it's too late by then. The creation itself tells us what God can do. You see a tree, you know God can create a tree. You see a mountain, you know God can create a mountain. Everything, you see yourself and know that God can create a human being. God created you. What is God not able to do for you? I think sometimes it's an insult to him. The petty little things that we struggle with and we make a big thing that God hasn't done for us. Sometimes I think we need to pause. If the creator of heaven and earth is my God, can he not do this for me? Bible says he who gave Jesus for us, will he not freely with him give us all things? He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Bible says no good thing will he withhold from us. We have to come to the place of knowing who he is and what he can do and entering into rest. As we keep our gaze on him, the Lord, you are enough. You are more than enough for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Jeremiah said, behold, in Jeremiah 32:17, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched out. There is nothing too hard for you. Nothing. Nothing. Because of time, you can put it down and read it. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 to 22. You can read it. There are so many scriptures. But the way in which we see what God can do is in the names that God revealed. Every name Israel has of God came by revelation when God did something for them. Mm-hmm. Then the name comes, you see. So you look at the names of God that Israel have. They have seven key names and then many others. His name is Yahweh. That's his personal name. The name we know as Jehovah. The one who breathes. From him comes all life. All of life. That's why I said, if you are anywhere where you can breathe, then you should know that God is there and working on your behalf. His name is I am that I am. I mean, who you ask somebody, what's your name? He says, I am. I'm an incomplete sentence. Complete anything you like, you can complete it with. I am merciful. I am your father. I am your friend. What is it you need? I am. I am. It's an incomplete. He's giving us a blank check. Praise God. In that name. I am. I am. Ah, Fahia Sutala Messiah. He's Elohim, the exalted one. His power is displayed in his name, Elohim, plural majesty. He's our God, El Shaddai, the many-breasted one who can satisfy us. He's more than sufficient. His name, Adonai, Lord. When he presented himself as Lord to Moses in Egypt, he said to Moses, your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, They knew me as Almighty, but they did not know me as Lord. And then as Lord, he began to tear Egypt apart to set his people free. What do you think God will not do to come and save you or deliver you or protect you? We don't know him. I will always remember that story about that old woman during the war. And the bombing starts and they all have to go underground. And wait, sometimes spend the whole night there until the sirens go again and then they come up. But every time this woman would just go and put her sleeping bag down and sleep through the bombing. If she was in Africa, they would say she's a witch. She would sleep through the bombing. And one day somebody asked her, how can you sleep through this? And she said, the Bible tells me that God neither slumbers nor sleep. What is the point in the two of us staying awake? What kind of faith is this? Can we come to that place of believing what the word says about God?
Yeah.
That he's not asleep. So when I go to bed at night, he's watching over me. Can we believe it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's Jehovah Zabaoth, the Lord of hosts, heaven's armies. I just sometimes I take his name and read Jehovah Nissi. He's my banner. Hanging high above me. When I come, his name is just blowing. Everybody knows who I am. That is how I picture it. He's Jehovah Ra, my shepherd. He's Jehovah Rapha, my healer. It means he can heal me. He can shepherd me. I'm talking about what can God do. He's Jehovah Shammah, the God literally who is there. Always there. Like the air, he's always there. He's Jehovah Tzidikenu, my righteousness. He can keep me on the straight and narrow path. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. What do I need? He can provide it. And I want to say to you, I want to submit to you that even if he doesn't have it, he can create it.
Amen.
If what you need has never come into existence, I want to put it to you that God can create it. God can remove. I know a man. The three consecutive jobs, God removed somebody. In one case, he went for an interview for the job, and with part of the job, he had to write an essay. As they sat down writing the essay, the man next to him just heaved and died literally there. They were all shocked. Then he went, they called him to come for the final interview. And they told him plainly, they said, we preferred somebody before you, but the person died. It was the man who died next to him. Three times, I have three stories. And he himself began to fear. At he was saying, what is this thing that... But I'm saying that whatever you need, God is able... If it doesn't, he's able to remove kings. He's able to change government to bring it to you. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shalom. All his names. Look for his names. And you'll be amazed at what God is able to do and what he can do. I'm presenting to you God's CV. Please. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants the job of your protector. He wants the job of your provider. He wants the job of your keeper. He wants the job of your friend. And he's presenting his CV to you today. Will you believe it? Will you accept it? And will you give him the job? Hallelujah. I've talked about his character. Let me quickly talk about his strength and truth. There's the strength is the third thing. And the truth is the fourth thing. Now, because of time, I'm quickly going to go about it. There is no question about how strong and powerful God is. Scripture declared from the beginning of the Bible to Revelation that God is powerful. Hallelujah. Revelation 19:1 says, after this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Hallelujah. Psalm 62 verse 11 says, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. God is almighty, omnipotent, mm-hmm. all powerful. I want you to think of those three tiny letters that form that tiny word. A-L-L. All. If he's all, it means that there is, if even there is 1% outside of him, it means that somebody else has a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. He has 99. Then he can never be all powerful. You see those sprays and things, they can never say it kills all germs because they can't guarantee that. They say 99.9%. So if something happens to you, is there 0.1 that happened to you? God says 100% powerful. Not 99.9%. Per chance, somebody else has it. God is all powerful. Hallelujah. We see his power in his abilities. We see his power in that he created all things. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 10:12 says, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He doesn't get tired. That's how strong he is. He does not get tired. Isaiah 40 verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. God will never grow tired of you. Amen. He won't grow tired of your situation. Amen. He won't get fed up. Oh, he doesn't, because he doesn't get tired. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's all powerful. The power by which he raised Christ from the dead. That's another story, another teaching, or as some of you know altogether. God has all power and all strength. He will never fail you. The thing is, we walk in fear. When we all came, you all sat down in your chairs, in the chairs, seats. You didn't even think twice that could the leg be broken, or could maybe the spring or whatever. We just sat. You go out, you step out, go to the bus stop because you have faith that the bus will be there. If you go and it doesn't, the bus is not there, another form will come. You have faith. You move to another. You have faith in that. We sit in our cars. We know that there is petrol in it. Then everything is working. We have faith in our cars. We have faith in so many things. And every day we live it out. God is saying, let me be that central thing. Let me be it. Let me be real. And when you come to me, you have no doubt. Just as you sat in the chair, you didn't even think. Hallelujah. God is strong, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He has never lost a fight.
Hallelujah.
Never, all these thousands of years, God has not lost a single fight. And God is not about to lose the fight for your life.
Amen.
He will win. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the God of all truth. That's the fourth thing. He said his character, his ability, his strength, and truth. God is truth. Hallelujah. He is unable to speak an untruth. He is true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Therefore, everything that proceeds from him is true.
Amen.
And accurate. Numbers 23:19 tells us that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, and will he not do it? Has he not spoken? Will he not make good?
Amen.
Numbers 23:19. Hallelujah. Amen. The entirety of God's word is truth. Sometimes we tell little lies. Even the best of us will still tell a little lie here. God is not able to do that. He said, I will not break my covenant, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have spoken by my holiness, I will not lie. You see, his character ensures that his word remains constant.
Amen.
And consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's omniscient. We've said that, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's omniscient, he knows all things. You see, I can see, I can see my iPad, the screen, but I can't see the back. Are you with me? I can't see in between here. I can't see inside of it. All I can see is the screen. That's the only perspective of life that I have. But God can see everything. So if God tells me something about what is inside it, I should not doubt, because he knows it. He can see it. Because he's omnipresent, he knows all things. He knows all things. This is what makes me, hallelujah,
amen,
know that God is truth. God is the standard for all truth. Never mind what you hear outside. Never mind even what you hear in church. If it does not correspond, God is not changing his mind about anything he has said.
Mm-hmm.
He remains constant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I will share something. I don't want to record that bit, so I will share it later. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32, as I bring this to an end, Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, that God, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Ah. James chapter 1, verse 17 to 18. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. There is no, you know, today he's green, tomorrow yellow. Some of our friends are like that, like chameleons. They change with the time or with the condition, with the situation you are in. Yes, but with him there is no shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruit of his creation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why Psalm 138 verse 2 tells us that he has magnified his word even above his name. Look at all the names of what he can do. He's magnified his word, because it was out of his own word that everything came into manifestation. Jesus is the truth that God has given us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus shows us the character of God. Jesus shows us what God can do. Hallelujah. He demonstrated it all the way to the cross, and even in the resurrection, he demonstrated this. Jesus shows us how strong and powerful God is, and he shows us that God is truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. This is why we must have faith.
Amen.
And not just as a concept, an ideology. I'm always saying to Pastor Kobe, something I read, and I reflect on it a lot. Is the kingdom of God an ideology or a reality? Is it idealism or realism? An ideal is what causes people to kill. It's what causes people to become fundamentalists. They are not practicing it, but in their head, it's all there. So they live their life. But when it becomes real, then we know that we become like Jesus.
Amen.
The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Let the word dwell in you.
Amen.
Let the word of God find its abode in you. And live the word each day and every day of your life. The beauty of the word of God is this. To the baby is like milk. To the adult is like meat. To the strong is like bones. But whichever state in which you are, the word of God finds its way in your life. Sometimes it says a little here. All these are scriptures. All the things in Isaiah, it says the Lord will be precept by precept. A little here. That was how I started. I have my notebooks from back in the day, and I look at what I wrote. And even though it's not wrong, it's very basic. But at that time, it was big revelation to me. Start that way. It's okay. Just keep a little here, a little there. precept upon precept. That's how God will do, like you do with the baby. Hold the hand, say, take a step, take a step, take. This is what God is saying to us. Or the step, the faith is a walk, and it starts with a step. And he's saying, I'm holding your hands, if you, whichever state you are in, and I'm saying, take a step. Take a step to know me, to know my character, to know what I can do, to know how strong I am. I will not let you fall. Take a step to know that what I'm telling you is true. This is the essence of faith. And if this year we are to walk in the victory, then faith, we have to come back to the very basics of faith. May the Lord bless us. May this word bear fruit in us. Father, we thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.